Before we start, we want to let you know we've launched a Patreon page where supporters can receive perks like bonus episodes and exclusive content.
Because Pop Fiction Women is our passion project, a place where we give women space to show up and offer in-depth analysis in the ways we're used to hearing about male creators and their characters.
We delve into creativity and psychology with a dash of astrology, and we have so much fun doing it. Just two friends breaking down books, movies, and shows like Normal People, Fleabag, and I May Destroy You.
Every single aspect of this podcast we do ourselves, from the preparation to the recording, from the editing to the social media promotion. So we're adding a Patreon platform because we want to keep making the show you love and hopefully expand it even further.
So please consider becoming one of our most complicated fans and contributing on Patreon.
To learn more, go to patreon.com/popfictionwomen. This is Pop Fiction Women. I'm Corinne.
I'm Kate. And we're complicated.
Blunt.
Total boss.
But sometimes a mess.
Opinionated.
But never boring.
And in this podcast, we're discussing the complicated women of the best books, TV, and movies.
Along with the complicated women behind the scenes. Warning, lots of spoilers ahead.
So come back when you're done.
Hurry up, it's starting. So foodie love.
Oh, I am so in love with this.
Yes.
Okay. I've been telling everyone I know.
Oh, good. Yay, everyone. I love to hear that. I know, I can't help myself. I'm like, it's so good.
Yes, we're telling everyone. Although my friends, when I say it has subtitles, they're like, subtitles. I'm like, no, you have to. Because like I said to you, even though I do not speak Spanish, listening just to them talk just
is beautiful.
It's beautiful. And like, yeah. I don't find it hard to read subtitles, but I mean, it doesn't get in my way. And just the sound in my ears is just so beautiful that I, even though I don't know what they're saying, I feel like after a number of episodes too, I learn words.
Yes, I'm sure you do. I know after I watched the second time around and I find myself thinking in Spanish. Like I actually wrote notes and I was like, when it ends or when it doesn't end, I don't care. No me importa. And I'm like, what? Why am I thinking in Spanish? It's so wild.
So you speak Spanish? Like how much Spanish do you know?
I know a lot. Right. I know a lot. I mean, I was introduced to it from a young age. And then also I like legitimately studied it for like 15 years.
But now this dialect, they're in Barcelona. Is it different for you? Or
it is. It is. There's definitely, but that's hard for me to tell whether that's an issue. There are just some words I don't know. It's a lot of vocabulary to know. And I don't have that off the top of my head. I know how to conjugate verbs. I know how to pronounce anything, you know, in front of me. And I know a lot of verbs, but the nouns are usually the hardest part. I'm like, I just don't have the word for that. And then also there's different words to say the same thing
right
all the time. And I will point out a couple of those because I thought their translation was interesting, like what they put for the subtitle. I'm like, that's not really what they said.
Oh, so that's what I was going to ask you. When you're listening or watching, are you reading the subtitles or listening to the Spanish or both, I guess?
Definitely both.
Okay.
I have to read. I cannot possibly. Well, and by the way, we will discuss this when we get to episode two, but they, in the show, many languages are spoken.
Yes.
So it's not always Spanish.
I know.
Right? So it's not always
I'm
Spanish.
So confused. I'm like, wait, I think that's French. Wait, what's happening?
Yes.
Or, okay. Like, because I know French and I'm like, am I confused?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So I am always reading, but I am listening too. And they speak like the words, what they're saying is generally a little bit ahead of the words.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes,
it makes it easier to do both, to listen and to read. But I absolutely need the subtitles.
Okay.
But I don't know. I am not afraid of subtitles. I just generally think sometimes, like I think of old foreign movies or something. I'm like, oh, it's just boring.
Yes.
Like, this is just boring.
So do I.
Foodie love is not boring.
It's also so visually beautiful that it's just like the food shots and the travel shot, everything.
Yes.
It's just so visually interesting that I don't that's what I say to people. I'm like, I'm just telling you, watch it. You will not even think about the subtitles. Yeah. It's so beautiful. And they're like, okay.
Yes. Oh, so beautiful. The background, and then also their chemistry too. I mean, these are two people worth looking at.
Oh my God, it's amazing. Chemistry is hot.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So we're going to do some recaps. Let's talk about what we're doing here. We're going to do some recaps. I think I'm going to say to people that you can listen to this, at least the first couple episodes, right? Mm-hmm. Without having watched it. If you're not sold on it, I think there's going to be spoilers, but like they go on a second date.
Right.
That's your spoiler. Yeah, right?
Exactly.
So if you're not sold on watching the show, putting it on, investing in it, I think you can listen to this and see if it intrigues you a little more. Because while we're not doing spoiler free, I do just think it's the kind of show that lends itself to being able to talk about it even before you've watched it.
Yeah.
I think it's very similar to Normal People, as mm-hmm. we've discussed. It's just a lot about two people and kind of almost nothing happens and yet everything happens. It's like right. so
we're not giving
amazing.
Away plot twists or, you know, surprise right. spoilers or like cliffhangers. It's, there's nothing like that. You're not watching this show for that experience. So
exactly.
it's just
exactly.
Yeah.
But it's so good. So good. Okay, so Foodie Love is the app mm-hmm. that this particular man and woman meet on, and they decide to meet for coffee. That's the first episode. It's just coffee. You can tell that they've both been hurt. They're reticent about meeting up, and they each on their way justify it to themselves. Oh, it's just coffee. Yeah. And she says 10 minutes, and he says, it's just coffee. 30, maybe 45 minutes.
Slightly different expectations. Same thought, but, you know, different time. That's for sure.
Which I just love, because that's relationships in a nutshell, right? Mm-hmm. You think you're on the same page if we're meeting just for a coffee, but then their expectations are different right from the start.
Right.
But before they even get together, we learn a little bit about them, right? Yes. They are sort of talking into the camera. The format of the show is very original yeah. and fresh. They're talking right into the camera yes. to start. And they're talking about the things that they like and things that they don't like. And they're talking a little bit about their own lives.
But like you said, to introduce these characters, I agree with you. So original. Like, and yet I yes. learned in, what was it, maybe 5 minutes, so much about each of them.
Yes. Yeah. And presumably they're talking about food, but they're really not talking about food. They're talking about life and mm-hmm. love and relationships. Yeah. She goes on this whole diatribe about pizza. What'd you think about
it
that?
It can be a disappointment. Well, because, you know, it almost like never lives up to the promise of what it looks like to you, right? Or what the anticipation.
Right. And she says, like, as soon as she has it, she's kind of satisfied. And then whatever desire she had is extinguished or squelched. Mm-hmm. Which just tells you, I mean, I don't agree at all about pizza.
Me neither. I was like, I will riot right here if you just like yes. I don't agree with her on rosé wine, but still.
Okay. But the pizza thing is just shows you what she's really yes. saying is she likes the idea of things more than the actual mm-hmm. thing
yes.
itself, or the experience itself is always a letdown. And that is something I can absolutely relate to. I do get caught up in the idea of something and then the inevitable letdown when it happens, or when you're there, or when you have to keep going. Like sometimes I'm like, okay, I'm here now. And it's like, oh no, we have to do this every day.
Yes. Exactly.
So that I could really relate to, even though I don't agree about pizza.
Right.
And then him.
Oh, but the one thing she hates that yes, I just also
yes,
hate.
Yes.
Like, oh my God, when people who start clearing the plates before you're done eating.
Oh,
like I'm
yes.
some sort of nuisance to you, she says. I'm like, oh,
yes.
Preach. Will you just preach?
Right.
What is with the people who start cleaning up the plates while I'm still sitting there? I could sit there with the plates and talk and have my wine. I'm like,
yes.
Why are we racing to clean up? Where are we going? What, you invited me over. Like, what? Those people that start scraping all the dirty plates onto a single plate at the table. I'm like, do you want, should we bring the dishwasher over here? I mean, sorry. I was so with her on that.
I am too. I don't know. I have to think about it. at a house, I'm not sure I care as much.
Or house, think people about do it at my house. They think they're helping. I've made the dinner, and then they want to start cleaning up, and I know that it comes from a good place. But I'm like, sit.
Yes.
Like, relax. Like, you're rushing me at my own table.
Right. Then. Back off. Back off. So I'm with you on that, too.
So
yes.
I agreed with her on some things, not others. But yeah, then we meet him and his sock drawer. Oh, mm-hmm. And then I realized that he was, like, my long-lost, like,
perfect
mate.
Because his socks are so organized.
Mine are not, by the way. But as I told you, I'm into external orderliness. And I told you my closet's actually a disaster. But it's my dream. Like, what he had like that. Oh. I looked at it and I like immediately was calm. I was like, oh, wow. Oh, look at that. They're so nicely organized. I know. Anyway, he's looking for his lucky socks.
No, I actually understand that. I Marie Kondo'd. Like the drawers, I do that with the kids' clothes and Mike. I do that, but it just never lasts.
No, it doesn't.
I don't
feel
the same satisfaction as people do.
I agree. It's impossible to keep it that way, but
yeah, it is. But anyway, he's got these socks, and they're. I like a guy with some personality.
Oh yeah,
socks.
He does. They're fun socks, but he's missing his lucky socks, and he says, "Without them, nothing has gone right." And so we know right off the bat that he says he's in sort of like a depressive state or maybe absent-mindedness.
Yeah. He says nothing has gone right. It hasn't gone wrong.
Yeah.
But it's just been, like he says, kind of tasteless, absent-minded is what the word he uses. He says someone would call it a depressive state, but he doesn't like that word.
Mm-hmm.
So, so we know he's kind of in a funk, to say the least.
Right.
And it's that kind of funk where nothing is as good as you want it to be.
Right.
Like, just it's all a little colorless and tasteless, and which will turn around for him soon. They meet for coffee. I mean, there's so many other things.
There is. I mean, one thing on the way to coffee I thought was interesting when he says that he wonders about people who have been together, you know, for 50 years, which is so something I do. He's like, do they still kiss? Like, do they run out of things to say? Like, do they still screw? Like, how many times? Like what's the secret? And like, this is what he's pondering on his way to coffee. And I just was like, oh, this is interesting. I like this guy.
No, I did like that too. But I just am like, look, there's no fucking secrets.
No, I
It doesn't matter. Like, just as many people don't work out that kiss every day or have sex once a month or have sex once a year or have sex once a day. It doesn't, like, there's no secret that connects the longevity of a relationship. None that I know, at least. There may be secrets for every couple. Like, this is our thing, and if we didn't have this thing, we would fall apart.
Yes.
But there's no universal thing. And so,
but I got the sense from that, and then on his whole, I'm kind of on an unlucky streak, that he's in some sort of like state, like we said, where either things haven't gone right for him, he's a little neurotic or insecure in the relationship, you know, like what, like maybe like, what am I always doing wrong? Like, maybe what are they doing right? You know, so we just kind of get this sense of him on the way there, which then you see throughout is kind of his personality.
So they're having coffee, and there's these little devices, the cartoon cutaways.
Oh God, I love it. The word bubbles and the cartoon cutaways.
And the word bubbles too. Yes, there's so much, because we all know there's so much unsaid.
Yes.
When you're, especially when you first meet someone, but not even especially, always, there's just always things unsaid. And so they put up these little kind of cartoon thought bubbles to let us know what they're really thinking, even when they're saying something different or they're not saying exactly what they mean. And I love that little glimpse into what they're thinking, which is not something you normally get in a visual medium, on TV.
Exactly. And sometimes, I love that sometimes whatever he's thinking, then she's thinking, like, knows that he's thinking that. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's great.
Yes.
And the voiceovers, that's a technique she uses a lot. So, but it's just so awkward
when they're
at first,
talking. Yeah.
I mean, right. So the whole thing's just like, I love it. I love that it's so awkward at first.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I mean, that's perfect. I mean, that's what would happen.
It's just true.
Yes.
Right. It's just true.
And like, and then he did what is so something I would do. I don't think he would do this. You know, he's just like right off the bat, like he knows it's awkward. So instead of just sort of like letting it like play out or whatever, you know, he's just like, like, I'm a disaster at these things. Like, a total disaster. Right. Like, you know, right. Like, I don't know how to make small yeah. talk. Like, but like, that's so something I would say. I would just start right. talking and, right. and it's just like, and I love it. She's just like, so yeah. you want me to tell you that everyone's a disaster, right. but like, I'm not going to do that. Like, that seems like something you would say. Like, I can't help you out here. Yes. Like, maybe you are a disaster. Yes. Maybe you aren't, but I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, don't worry. Everyone's a disaster. At these right. things. Instead, she's right. like,
well, I loved what she, yeah. and I loved what she was thinking, which yeah. is, yeah, it's not easy anymore when you're trying to plan, kind of play it straight. She's like, I used to like when I went into a bar, just sat on a guy's lap and kissed him and was like, what's your name? I mean, I was like, yes. Oh, the simple days.
Yes, that was much easier. Here. Oh God. Yes. So you kind of immediately see their personalities there.
Yes. And you see their personalities and how kind of different they are, but they're very much in the same place. Mm-hmm. And that is what you have the feeling will make them work, right? They're kind of looking for the same things, they're worried about the same things. She's going on and on about her guilt, and she confronts that more in episode 2. Like what it's really about, but she's always kind of checking her guilt.
Yeah.
And so they're pretty hung up and neurotic right now, and they both are.
Yes.
But in different ways, and it comes out in different ways, and it's for different reasons maybe, but they're in the same place enough that going forward might be a good thing for the two of
yeah.
them.
Yeah. No, that's right.
Yeah. But, right. And he says, I either try too hard or not hard enough. Yeah. He says he doesn't like games, but sometimes it's inevitable.
I like that part too. Then I was like, we really yeah. are meant to be together here. I don't like games. right? But
yeah,
and he brings up more. You know, all the expired stuff in his fridge, and that's how he mentions mm-hmm. yuzu, is that how you say it? The sauce yes. from Japan. And then that's which when we find out.
Yeah, that's a real yeah. striking point for the two
yeah, because she says that she lived in Japan for a year where she had met mm-hmm. someone, she almost got married, and that's our first sort of flashbacks that we'll see many of to her ex-fiance.
Yes.
And
oh, and the intensity there too.
Holy
Jesus.
Cow. Exactly.
Yes, yes,
I
yes.
like when she says she's good at hiding how crazy she is. And he's yes, like, good. I'm a magnet for unstable women. And then she's like in her head, oh, he's not as serious as I thought he was. Like, oh, he can make a joke.
Yes, because he goes on about being a magnet for unstable women and how strong it is.
Yes.
Yeah, and the nuns are the worst.
But when she says I'm good at hiding how crazy I am, I don't know about you, but at first yeah. I was like, now I don't know if she's kidding or is she really that crazy? And I right. think for him, he's like, oh boy.
I think it's true, but also, like, is it? Isn't everybody crazy? Like, isn't everybody a little off?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
like, we just all have our own baggage, I guess. And so she can come off normal for a while, but she's good at hiding how crazy she is. I loved that.
It was
and
great.
Then they start, yeah, and then they are really having another really nice moment after the connecting on Japan and the food, and then that moment, and they're laughing, and they decide to have another cup of coffee together, and you're like, okay.
This is after this she is... made the joke about she wanted to check out his bottom, like and yeah, checking yes. out a man's bottom, well, or...
That's right. When they decide to have the second cup, then she says, oh, I should go get it, because those... the woman up there looks unstable, you might, you know, yeah. draw her in with your magnet. And then, yes, and then they do talk about that. That was one of the words that I thought was the most, they talk about, cool. They say kula.
Right.
And they translate it as bottom, but yeah. it's a vulgar, like it's more like ass.
Okay,
really
that's is. What I figured.
Yeah. Yeah, and she's like talking about, why don't we talk about men's asses more?
Right, exactly. Because with women, men can choose from the ass or the breasts. But with men, it's really only yeah. about their ass. It's true.
Yes.
We should talk
yes.
about this more. I was like, I love that part. And I knew, I was I like, I don't too. Think it's bottom. Is it really? I'm so glad you said that. Because yeah. I was like, that's a terrible translation. It loses no, the, yeah. I don't know, the luster there.
Yes, yeah. or yes, something. It definitely loses something in it. In the translation, but I guess they didn't want to write butt because that's so juvenile, right?
But it's a it thing for more... her to say, and I love it because yes, it's flirtatious, but it's also like yes. basically saying what a lot of women think, which is, yeah, when you get up, right. check out your ass. And he's like, acts all like, how dare you? And she's like, this is what fucking yeah. men do every time we get up, every time we walk around.
I loved that too. Yeah. So it was kind of nervy of her to do it. And then also, she's constantly like ribbing him in this in this way of like, well, welcome to the club. Every single time a woman gets up, she's wondering who's looking at her ass and how does it look and is it okay? And, you know, so when he's blushing and he's feeling self-conscious about it because now she's brought it up, she has no sympathy for him. Yeah. She's like, deal with it. This is what we deal with all the time.
Exactly.
Yes, I loved that too.
Like, okay, and gets up. He's like,
yes, what else can he do? Exactly. And so they're having a wonderful moment, and then he gets up and goes gets the coffee, and she goes out to have a smoke, and he, like, the show turns on a dime over and over in this episode, right? Because he comes back with the coffee, and he thinks she's gone.
Yeah, he like really
she's just
out.
Left. He really freaks out,
and this
right?
is his insecurity, which again will keep coming up. Like, I don't know, you know, he just always thinks like, oh, that's it. She's done. She's dumped me, or she's never coming back, or she's not going to show in the first place or whatever.
Yes. 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 And it does.
And she did
going.
Take her bag and her jacket, I guess. So he was like, that's
she
it.
Did.
She's gone.
Right.
What have I
she's
done?
Just gone. And I thought it was going well. What happened? Am I wrong? And then she glances in and notices that he thinks she's left, and then she again talks about her guilt, and now I have to feel guilty about this, right. And but it is, I mean, it is a little, she's kind of callous or maybe capricious at the least, because I mean, who would just get up and go have a smoke with on a first date? Like, it's something you would say when you go get the coffee, I'm gonna go out for a smoke, or if she doesn't want to say she's smoking, she could say, I'm going to use my phone or something.
Right.
You know,
I'll
she could
right
have just
back.
Said.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes, exactly.
And then she's annoyed. Like, oh, great. Now another thing I have to be guilty about. I don't know. Like,
exactly.
Well, you did get up and leave him there.
Right. Yeah. Right. Without thinking about how he might feel about it.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, so, I mean, and then she says this date is not going as expected, meaning though it's going so well. I mean, it was a really exceptional first date.
It was.
Exceptional.
It was.
Right? Mm-hmm. I was like, this does not happen. I hope you know this, people. And as doubtful as you are about where it will go and what it will mean, that was a great, they had real conversation. They talked about, they had a lot in common. They had things they want, like future things in common. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just like, it was a great date.
I really love the part, though, that then when they when she sits back down and they talk about the couple behind the bar.
Yes,
the barista,
I knew it. Yes.
I love this.
Of course. Of course.
So they're a couple, you know, and they start pondering, like, what's it like to work with someone you're in a relationship with, because she thinks, oh, that must be terrible.
It's
you
terrible.
Have to work together, mm-hmm. live together. Then when you're done doing all the work, you know, you have to go home and you're tired, and it's like they must never really see each other, you know, because they're too busy doing that. And then he is such a romantic and says, well, unless it's like this, and tells a story basically of how maybe they clean up and he puts on Italian music and she comes up behind him and puts her arms around his waist and sees him for the first time. And she's so, she's like, how can she see him? She's behind him. And I'm like, all right.
No, but you know, I don't really get the idea of like, quote unquote, seeing each other. I know now you and I have a fuller understanding of what that means. But I don't like that term, and I wouldn't take it so literally, but I don't like it. And so I liked that she
says
that.
It, right.
That she was like, well, she's behind him. How can they see each other?
Right. And he gives response that I like, which is, it's a figure of speech, meaning you think that because they work together that it would all get kind of jumbled up together and there would never be time for them just to be with each other. And he's positing a scenario where they do share a moment. How about that? Whether it's that they're looking at each other or not, but it's an intimate moment. There's intimacy. And I think that's what he means about being seen.
Yeah.
That they steal a moment.
Yeah, but and I like that she pushed him because where they get to is connect.
Yes,
right? Because that's the difference.
Exactly.
In her story, they essentially just walk side by side, parallel lives. Mm-hmm. They work together. They go home together. They're sitting on the couch
they
together.
Fall asleep.
She's reading a book. Yeah. He's watching a TV. Yeah. So they don't connect. And in his version, he realizes maybe they still just go home and read a book and watch TV, but there's these little moments of connection, and that is what relationships, that keeps relationships going.
I love
that. Not when you're side by side as strangers. Yeah. So I loved that they got there together.
And then the glimpse we get at the very end of the barista yes. couple is his scenario, like where they
that
do.
He was right.
Yes. Yes. It was, I loved that.
Yes. And I loved it too.
The other thing I love is when he touches her finger. After there's just talk about a moment of connection, and that's like such an appropriate one at this stage, right? It's even a little gutsy for a first date, but he does it kind of spontaneous. And
well, he says it was unintentional, and,
right? But he couldn't. Like, maybe it wasn't like maybe it sort of was involuntary. Like he just kind of got caught up.
Right.
I viewed it as he just his hand was near hers, and he just couldn't help it.
Like wanted to touch her,
just like touch her, and almost like a spark, and then he like took it back. I just thought it was so awkward and adorable all at once.
It was perfect
for this stage, you know, of the relationship between them. So I mean, this and the close-ups of the coffee. Can we just talk about this? I don't know
why. I don't drink coffee, so
I don't drink it the way they drink it. I just thought like
it is different
with her twisting the orange in her finger and like when we saw zoom in on their empty coffee cups, like I don't know, it does in my mind I could picture the taste, like they were just like so creamy looking and like bitter. I don't know, I did get a little bit of that, but I just thought there was something even just romantic about the empty coffee cups in front of them, about what they've just shared. I don't know.
I mean, the show is an incredibly, it's a sensory experience, right? I don't even drink coffee, and I was definitely, I could still in my mouth tasted the bitterness of what they were drinking. And then the orange, in my mind, even made it more bitter. And it's a whole sensory experience. You are not just looking at it, you are thinking about those things.
It's crazy. And I really don't like the expression food porn, but this show is food porn. I mean, you just like some of the, I mean, not the coffee episode, but when we get to some of the food, it's a full body experience, this show.
Experience. Mm-hmm. It is. The two other things that I have to point out, she says, there's a cutaway where she says, I don't mind being poor and alone, but I don't want to be sad and lonely. Mm. And I was like, oh, that's before they start talking about the couple, right? Yep. It's like, and how you can be together, but alone and or feel lonely. And I just thought that was so, the way she juxtaposed those words, I was like, oh, it's so fucking good. And then he, is it in this one? Oh, when he's saying he wants to see her again, he's like, you intrigue me, like let's do something else. And I loved that because later on in a future episode he will say, you confuse me. And I thought about what there's like a fine line between intrigue and confusing, right?
Yeah,
they're both involve some sort of mystery, some sort of unknowable quality. And one is enticing, intriguing is good, like it makes you want more, but confusing is too much. And but it's along that same spectrum. So you want somebody, or he does clearly, that is a little unknowable, but also not so much that he feels confused.
Exactly. And I like that. But he's easily confused.
Spectrum.
So.
I don't know. She works pretty hard at it.
She does.
Yeah.
And how about that we don't know their names, and we will never know their names. They're not. Oh, she was so interesting. Of course, I did read an article where she said that she tried. She really tried. And there was just no
names. Tried to give them names?
Yes. This wasn't like on purpose. Like, it's not like this. She goes, people probably think I was trying to be mysterious or I had some, you know, hidden meaning here. She goes, the real truth is there were no names that suited them. Every name, this has never happened to me. We should say she's a very acclaimed writer and director in Spain. And she's like, this has never happened to me. And I kept promising HBO, don't worry, don't worry. You know, it says him or her for now, but I'm going to, you know, I'm going to put in a name. I'm going to put in a name. She goes, and then at the end, I was like, I have no names for them. They have no names.
What?
She said every name she tried sounded preposterous. She goes, I don't know. They just didn't work. So I said, well, they don't have names.
Oh my gosh. I did not know that. I thought it was like intentional because like, it's like, so many metaphors I can think of. Like, you lose yourself when you fall in love, and she that it's not do important. It. Oh, but that has to be symbolic of what she was going for, too.
Yes.
There's no way she just couldn't.
Well, and I think that's sort of her all point,
the
too.
Like, literally, all the names were preposterous.
Well, nothing fit. And I think to kind of what you're saying, though, she's trusted herself enough, having done this, that she did, I think, probably realize there's a reason for this. I'm not going to, like, right? That whatever it may be, that it didn't feel, nothing felt right. So she just went with what felt right, which is they don't have names.
That is bizarre.
It didn't bother me either. Did it bother you?
It didn't bother me until you just told me that. Oh, now I'm like, all right, that's a little ridiculous. No. It's not going to ruin anything. I'm already in love with them. So we're talking about the creator, Isabel Coixet.
Right.
Coixet, depending on Spanish or Catalan, who is a superstar in Spain.
And this is her first foray into TV, and I hope it's there's more seasons. She hopes there is too, so that's good.
Oh,
you know, she has two more seasons in mind. When she conceived
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you're going to love this. She conceived of it as three seasons, one in each stage of their lives.
Ooh.
So that is cool to me.
Interesting. Right? Oh, yes.
I could see
That's but exciting.
So she says, I hope they'll let me because I have two more seasons in my head.
Oh, that even reminds me more of normal people.
I know.
Right? Mm-hmm. Because that's three different stages in their lives. High school, college, and then post-college.
I know.
All I knew about Isabel is what you texted me, which was, we finally have a superstar Aries. It's just
which this is a pretty badass one to get. Corinne, to be your sign, so
exactly. Yeah, no, I'm worth the wait. Worth the wait.
All right.
So episode two,
Breakfast in Kentucky.
Oh, this is one of my absolute favorites. Episode two just is such a stunner for me. I love it on so many levels. And in episode one, Isabel always puts in another character, right?
Yes.
To show you the same thing that she's exploring. It doesn't take away from it, but it is different. It's besides the guy and the girl that are the subjects of the show, Foodie Love.
Right.
So, and in episode one, we have the two behind the bar, and then we also have the writer who we really didn't talk about because it wasn't so.
Yeah.
I think episode one really did rightfully need to be mostly about them.
Right.
But episode two starts with the bar owner.
Oh, she's so cool.
So cool. Because this whole episode takes place in a bar that is just, and he describes it in episode one. It's cool and unique. I think he says atomic cocktails.
Yeah.
But it's not hipster,
pretentious, whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it is based on a real place. Where you do go.
It is?
Every place in this show is based on a real place that she loves.
Oh,
including
this
bar where you do go through a meat locker and get to the back to have what is kind of a hidden speakeasy place. Yes, these are all places, real places. So.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. Because I totally want to go there now.
I know.
And I think that one's in
Barcelona. I think it is.
Okay. Oh my gosh, I gotta go.
I know.
When
we can go places. God, this show too is such a tease during the pandemic. I just want to go places.
But yes. Oh, cannot. Yes, I agree completely. So we start with this bar owner, and she just cracks me up. She is very cynical. She says humans are cretins. She hates all the people.
She's amazing.
And it seems obsessed with cats. She's meowing and like clawing at the camera over and over, which I also love.
And she's like, exactly.
Yeah.
She's apparently.
And her voice.
Her voice is so cool.
So husky.
Is apparently a very talented actor and French director. Her name is Agnes. Okay. I can't say her name, but some of these people, these secondary characters, are also pretty famous or well known in their own right. I know, which I, you know, we maybe
and they were like, sure,
Yeah, maybe they're friends of hers. Maybe because she is who she is, she can get them to do it. But like, yeah, she definitely wanted to have these other characters. Like you said, it sort of mirror the main plot. Mm-hmm. And this episode, I think, is a great example of that with the bartender and then the woman at the bar. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's where I was going to go to next, because they do go to her next. Mm-hmm. The older married woman who is speaking in French.
I love her. Like, I really love her little storyline here.
Me too. And I love, right out of the gate, she's like, you ever notice how tired and married sound the same, especially in Spanish, which is true, because in Spanish it's cansada and casada. Yes. So it's the only difference is an N, cansada, casada.
Uh-huh.
And they, and how clearly we know from her point of view, like that's where she's coming
from.
She's
tired. She's married and she's tired. Yeah. Yes. Right.
And she says she comes to the bar every night alone so she can concentrate on her drinking.
I love this because the first drink focuses her. Mm-hmm. Then the second makes.
Well, she says it focuses her. She knows she's the real me. This is the real me, whatever that means.
Right. And
she also poo-poos. She's like, I don't like meditation. Yeah. I don't like yoga. It bores me.
Yes.
I come and concentrate on my drinking. And the first drink focuses me. And I'm like the real me, whatever that is.
Right.
And then this, go ahead.
Yeah, the second makes me forget who I am. And the third one cheers me up because I've forgotten who I am. Oh, so great.
Loved that.
Yes. It is like a ritual meditation for her. I was like, now this I could get on board with. Everyone wants me to meditate. Maybe I should just be drinking more.
Maybe, but I don't know. But it's also extremely sad.
It's extremely sad.
It's also very sad.
It is. But it's also the way she described it. Before we saw her sit down and drink, it didn't seem like, she's just going in and getting sloshed. It seemed like a meditative experience for her, know? But
Yes. And she's obviously very aware. Mm. And that is, to me, the only thing more sad than being sad is being unaware of it, right? Mm-hmm. And she is not unaware. So I really appreciate that. She's just like, this is my choice. For whatever reason, she's staying in her marriage. Mm-hmm. She's lonely. She knows what's going on. She's not oblivious to it. And she's just like, this is my choice, whether it's for now or forever or whatever it is. She's aware of that. And I do really appreciate that. Yeah. And then let's talk about her arc throughout this, because then she sits down at the bar and the bartender, our favorite friend who likes Westerners, gives her a drink and she wants her to guess what's in it. And she's like, hmm. And then this woman starts speaking Spanish. The one who's speaking French then does start speaking Spanish, which
is thoroughly confusing. And they keep saying cilantro, but the translation is coriander. So is it coriander or is it cilantro?
So in Spanish, there is no word for coriander is cilantro.
Okay, they say it so many times, because then the man sits down with her and then she's telling him.
Right. And then the subtitles pop up, coriander, ?
Yes, exactly. Like,
what's going on here? So a man comes and sits next to her at the bar.
But she's already looked at the camera, though, and said, like, I look around and like these people don't realize
this is the best
time of their life, you know, that basically she's giving this lesson in how hopes, I think, younger people will realize that this is the best time of your life. So basically, you know, accept that drink, kiss that person, you know, talk to that guy, flirt with
even
whoever.
If you don't know how much you like them, just do it.
Just do it. Basically a lesson on whatever you can experience, just experience it now while you can, because don't take it for granted.
Yes. And you'll remember, like, these are the things you'll remember. You'll remember the sex, the loving nights, the wild times, both the memorable and the flops, the good and the bad. But it's just that you will never have a time in your life with so many experiences.
Right.
You don't die. But you just, as you get older, the opportunities for I do look back and feel like we just experience so much when you're younger.
Yes.
And you don't get that kind of opportunity as you get older.
Yeah.
So you it can is still sad have experiences. Too. Like yes.
I mean, she's looking at it now from her vantage point, and it is sad. But then the hot guy sits down next to her and it gets better. So.
Yes. Well, does it though? I don't think
it's still sad. It's still sad.
Yeah. Yeah. But here's the thing. I do think she's right, but you don't have to be sad about just the fact that you have less experiences in life. There are different experiences, and you do trade one thing for another in life. There's much more security. There's much more can come out of you. Mm-hmm. You can, you know, when you're in a more stable, deep-rooted place. So But it is clear that she is very lonely and she is sad. Whether that fact alone makes one sad or lonely is up for debate, but it is clear that she is sad and lonely, I think.
Correct.
Yes. And then this hot fucking guy comes and sits down next to her.
I'm like, wow. And,
right? And right off the bat, he's clearly, you know, he's looking at her. He's very interested in her.
Yeah.
Right.
He manages to be hot and cool and talk to her without being like creepy. And even when she says like, how old are you? And gives the standard line, like, I could be your mother. Even his answer on that was kind of like, yeah, I mean, you could be, or like something he says, like,
yeah,
I don't know. He doesn't get weirded out. Like there's just a nice energy between
them. but also she's weirded out when he's like, yeah, actually you could be, because I don't know my mother. I'm adopted.
Oh yeah, that's right.
But yeah, no, I mean, I did think this is a farcical fantasy. This doesn't happen. The guy, the super hot guy, even if he comes and sits down next to you, he definitely says something creepy and weird and it's all awkward. And this is like just a, and
it's
hey,
never
I
this
love
smooth.
It.
Yeah.
Never.
No, exactly.
You can't think that this is ever going to.
No.
But it was nice to watch.
It was nice to watch her kiss him. And
yeah. And she says, I can't believe you don't have a girlfriend. And he's pretty honest. Like, well, I'm a demanding man. You know, yeah. I don't. And she says, oh, you don't want one. You don't want a woman with baggage. And he's like, well, some baggage is interesting. It's worthwhile.
Yes.
And clearly he obviously thinks that, because then he says, I'm adopted, actually. Mm-hmm. He's like, you don't. So he's not afraid of damage. He's not afraid of kind of putting out there like, this is who I am. And then she says, you're good looking and you know it. And that's the problem. Mm-hmm. He comes back with, you're lovely too, but you've forgotten. And that's a problem.
I loved that line. That I was like,
so good.
I was like, damn. Which is true. So she is lovely. Good. And she probably has forgotten.
She clearly has forgotten.
Yes.
Yes. The way she's just like so taken by him and his looks, you just know that she's forgotten, that she's, you know, she's on par.
Yeah.
Like, what's the problem here?
Yes.
And all of this is happening.
Well.
And we haven't even gotten to our girl and guy of the show.
So, exactly.
So that's
and it's
why
all
this is
intermixed, but.
Yes.
Those two really stand out. But yeah, our poor guy is just sitting there getting wasted, waiting for her, waiting for her. And
I know.
And she's late, and we see that she's actually in bed with some other guy, which is what is making her late. That's what we're seeing flashes of. We don't know who he is or what's going on.
Yeah.
But she seems like a little bit of a mess and,
and
trying to get out, and she can't find her phone. She lost her glasses, and then she's late and she hates to be late. And meanwhile, he's just sitting there like she's never coming.
She's never coming. And I love what he says. He not only is she late, but he got there early.
Yes.
Because he wanted to savor the moments of expectation.
This is so me. I get everywhere.
See, you're him.
I know. Exactly. I've been waiting for this, to say this. And I have seen the whole thing, but I keep waiting, thinking like, oh, are we going to switch? Like at some point, am I going to be like,
right,
maybe? No. Mm-mm. I think time it is, I am him and you are her. I mean,
okay,
I'm
all right. Because I would never do that. I would never show up. Now, I like her. I don't like to be late, but I would never first of all, just saying savoring moments of expectation just makes me want to like
scratch my skin. I wouldn't say that, but I would be early probably for other reasons because of just the anal retentiveness. Right. But I could see being like the good part of that being the excitement waiting. I'm not sure I would let that be the driving force like it sounds like it is for him. Like it sounds like he purposely went there early for that.
Yeah, I think it's exaggerated.
Yes, yes. Right.
It's probably exaggerated. But
he wants to get his drink. But it does highlight get the spot.
Right. See, but that is all part of it. And I hate that part. Uh-huh. That's the part I would want to be avoiding. So, so I would not be there. That I like to come in a whirlwind and be like, oh my God, here I am.
Yes.
Okay, what are we getting? Let's get a drink. What are we doing?
Like she did, except that then he's mad. So then, you know, they're a little.
Well, because she's an hour and a half late.
Yeah. But I even like that. They're both like, he kind of, because he's drunk now, he actually is being a little more like, what were you doing?
Yeah.
You know, she's like, you're pissed. And he's like, I'm not pissed, but he is pissed.
They go back and forth a few times, and then he says, you know what? I am angry, but not at you.
Yeah.
Right? And what does he say? He's angry. And he only tells this to us. He says he's angry because he feels frail. He is frail.
Yeah.
And anything that goes wrong makes me think the universe is against me.
Yeah. I'm not quite as defeatist attitude as him. That's where I lose him. He's got a lot of this throughout.
And that's where he becomes my husband.
Yeah, I can't. Definitely. He's like a little fatalistic at times, and everything is going to go wrong, or look at that.
Yes. I loved. And she tries to kind of come in with this hard exterior, but she is again talking about her guilt, and she feels guilty. And I love the kind of pep talk she says to herself, you know, you're not guilty about this guy. You don't even know this guy. You're guilty because you're fucking up and you're repeating bad patterns and you're self-sabotaging. And she says, basta, enough.
Yes.
She's like, enough. I love
to herself,
that.
Like, come on. Like,
Yes. And just go and enjoy this night for what it is, whatever it will be. And I loved that. Yeah. I really loved that. And then she does lie to him and says she tries really hard not to lie and doesn't give him an excuse for why she's late, but he presses her.
Yeah.
And she finally comes out with a lie. It's like two truths and a lie, right?
Yeah,
she
does. Yeah.
She admits that she's a book reviewer. She tells him what she does for a job. She may have been working late, but we also know that her nap that she took was with someone else. So
yeah,
that part she kind of leaves out.
Yeah, her nap, exactly. In quotes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. So, but she talks about her job, which, interestingly, they did not talk about on the first date. I kind of loved that. I don't know if that's a cultural, like, European thing.
Right.
But I wish it was more like that.
I know. Where that isn't the, like, number one thing.
Because it's
people
usually
bring
the
up.
Very first. Right. Yeah, exactly. The very first thing.
Right.
But we do find out that she's a book reviewer, and she shits on memoir.
I know.
Which I thought was funny. Now, I do think memoir has come a long way, but I am a fiction person.
Right.
So I kind of secretly loved what she was saying. She's like, ugh, forget about your past. Would you move on?
Oh my God, that was awesome. And you know, actually, we don't find out what he does until the next one. So you're right. Yes. I do like that too. How it kind of gets worked in.
Yes.
More organically.
And she calls memoir self-fiction.
Yes, and I didn't know if that was some translation thing too, though. I was like, wait, so, because for me, sometimes I do wonder if it's a translation thing or whatever, but maybe not.
I don't know. I don't know what the word is, but I appreciated it on a number of levels, because maybe I think in the next episode, we talk more about fake news, which we'll come to, but I thought it tied in with that. This idea that essentially we're all just lying to ourselves, right?
And exactly. Like,
yeah. So I liked that term of art, whether it is perfect translation or not. I still appreciated it. And then they shit on Carl Ove, which I also appreciated that they, first of all, had the same feeling. And he says, it's the worst crap ever, but it makes his sister feel special, he says. But sublimating daily life. Ugh. And he's like, you know, they're both navel gazing and fuzz in your navel.
Fuzz in your navel. Lint or yeah, fuzz and then or whatever.
They say they hate the same things, and that's a good thing because hatred brings people together. Which also, which reminded true. Me of, and it reminded me of Taylor Swift. She has a line in one of her songs on Folklore that's, it's in Mad Woman that hating me has brought you two together.
Yes, that, oh yes, my gosh. Yes. No, that was great. That back and forth. I love, and this happens in a bunch of episodes where they talk about like movies or books. Yes, I love it.
I did too. Yes, I love that too. They do have a real chemistry, a real ease, and it's not simple to have that. I'm talking about in the dating world, like even just like meeting people outside, and it's like, you know, oh, I don't watch that, or I haven't read that, or I just don't. We can't connect on that. But when you can, it's like such a great feeling.
And it's not easy to write. I think for it to come out so natural and like banter back and forth. But
you are so right.
It's very hard.
She makes this look effortless, and her dialogue is just phenomenal. Yeah. And it's not only the cadence of it and the back and forth, it just makes sense, but also that there's always multiple levels. Like, are they talking about food, or are they talking about love and relationships, and are they talking about books or movies, or are they talking about what it's like to be a human being in the world? It's just, it's incredible. Incredible. Yeah. And then we get back to our bartender who talks about gin and tonics. I loved this because I used to always drink gin and tonic was my drink of choice for a very long time.
And do you know what I always say about gin and tonics? Like, no one should be allowed to have more than one of those. Clearly the bartender feels the opposite, that it's impossible to have only one of those.
Or no, she maybe would agree with you though. Yes, but the reason why no one does is she says gin and tonic makes you extremely lucid.
I would say mean is what I usually say, but maybe I do. And not about you. I've never had an incident with you on gin and tonic.
No, it's accurate. No, but you're right. You have never seen me that way, but let me tell you.
And so I was going to say, by lucid, does she mean evil? Because my friends who drank it, maybe them in a lucid state is bringing out their inherent nastiness. I don't know, but we had to like ban it from some of my friends. I was like, you cannot have
more than one gin and tonic myself. We did not know each other during this period in our time, in our lives. And let me tell you, it's the same. For me, I cannot speak. I don't know who you're talking about, although I probably know them. But like,
you do.
Yeah. Whatever it is. For me, I can say that at that time in my life, I was so repressed about so many things that it did make me lucid. And what happened was the lucidity brought on the anger of all the shit I was repressing, like how I hated my life and I didn't know what I was doing and this is what I had worked up to and it was not what I wanted it to be. But yet I'd put so much fucking time and energy and money into it and I didn't know how I was ever going to get out of it or if I could ever get out of it and how was I going to make it through it. Ugh. On many levels, on my career, my relationships, all of it. So I got fucking angry.
Yeah.
But it was true lucidity. It really was not anger. I don't know that if I drank gin and tonic now, I would act the same way. I'm also not going to test that theory.
Correct. Yes.
At that time in my life, I had a lot going on.
But when she said that, I agree with you. I stopped in my tracks because I was like, ooh, I got a lot of feelings on gin and tonic. Let's see where she's going with this.
I didn't even know that was a thing. And now here we are talking about it completely separate and experienced similar things. It's obviously real.
It's a real thing. It is a thing.
Clearly.
Well, and my older brother used to drink it too. And he wasn't the one I was talking about, but he liked Tanqueray at the time, which, you know, the bottle is green. And I used to tell him, I'm like, the little green man is out. You got it. The little green man, which was his little evil self. I was like, dude, put the little green man back in the bottle because we are not. I don't like it when he comes out to play.
That's so interesting. Mine was Bombay Sapphire.
Oh, okay. And the blue
it was
man.
Definitely the blue. Like a choking, dying person, I guess. But it was definitely, I was a young lawyer and it was the first time I could A, afford, but also B, it was always free. I just drank.
So what do you think of the breakfast in Kentucky drink, though, that she shares the recipe at the end? Would you drink that?
I would definitely try it. I would I don't know if I would like it or not, but I'm into it. Yeah. I loved the idea. I loved all of the things she put together. It's, I mean, I'd actually like that as breakfast, frankly. Whiskey, I mean, and eggs and bacon. And
all of those kind of cocktails. So first of all, I thought it was so cool. Like so many, how they smoked these drinks. Again, talk about the whole thing being a sensory experience. I mean, some of these drinks, even her martini, like whatever the woman at the bar that we love mm-hmm. was drinking, just looked yes. beautiful. And I don't think I would. That when he and her were drinking this breakfast in Kentucky, like,
yes,
it, I, and she's describing it, you know, she's like, there's something yeah. smoky. Like, I was getting so
sweet
into it.
And savory. Oh my
but
gosh.
But with these yes. drinks, I always like these, like, kind of like artisanal cocktails, whatever. I right. kind of only ever want like one or two sips. Like, I don't,
right.
I don't think yes. I can drink them like
agreed
multiple ones, but oh, it sounds, they sound so delicious.
Yes. Okay. Oh, and yeah. Again, it's the sensory. It's a whole sensory experience. This.
Yeah.
This episode and this show. Frankly.
And it's puking. We just have to. We can't forget yes. about his puking. He kind of didn't end this
which he
one
called.
So well.
He called it in the beginning. He's like, if I have more than one of these, I'm going to end up throwing up. And he, in fact, did.
Yeah. Yeah. She walked with him though. You know. Get
yeah.
some air.
Ah, this was so me. She was annoyed. But also, like, totally, she says, he stirs tender feelings inside
in me.
Of me.
I know.
I can't explain it. I was like, oh, yes.
Yeah, you're
now
in trouble.
Yes, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Yes. I loved that. That episode, just to me. And then also the older woman and the younger guy, they kiss. They share this kiss that seems amazing. But then she's like, I live right here. I have to go. And he kind of understands she's married, which he didn't. He was like, I'll come in. And she's like, nope, not yeah. going to happen. Yeah. And then he's also like, yeah, I'm going to go back to the bar then because I came here for a reason.
But then he was like, oh, your husband doesn't drink. And she's like, no, he does. Just not with me. And I was like, back to your yeah. sad point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this was one of my favorites.
That's
by
great,
far.
Great episode.
Yes, it was.
This has been Pop Fiction Women with Corinne and Kate.
If you enjoyed this show, please tell the complicated women in your life.
And the men who love them.
Yes, tell them to listen. And then to follow on Spotify or review and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. And of course, share on social media.
Tag us with your favorite books, TV shows, and movies starring complicated women on Facebook and Instagram at Pop Fiction Women or on Twitter at Pop_Women.
For more coverage of the women you love or to find out if you qualify as a complicated woman, go to popfictionwomen.com.
And keep it complicated.